Good afternoon. Our story is about a man named Abba Chilkiah. Abba Chilkiah lived in the land of Israel approximately 2,000 years ago. And Abba Chilkiah and his wife were very kind people. They were always looking how to help people. Abba Chilkiah would give charity to the poor. He would give tzedakah. His wife would prepare food and give it to the poor. And these two people were known to be big tzaddikim, very pious people. Abba Chilkiah was known that when he would pray, things would happen. And so one time, there was a drought. There was no rain in the land of Israel. And so the rabbis sent two messengers to ask Abba Chilkiah to pray for it to rain. And when they came to his home, so Abba Chilkiah wasn't at home. They asked, where is Abba Chilkiah? They were told, he's out working in the field. So they went out to the field to meet Rabbi Chilkiah. Abba Chilkiah is out in the field, and he is plowing a field. He is working. They went over to him and they said, good morning, Rabbi. He didn't answer them. They waited on the side. They understood maybe they shouldn't disturb him right now. And so they waited. And then when the evening came, he gathered his belongings and he gathered a pile of wood and he took his shovel and he took his coat and he started traveling home. The whole way home, he was not wearing his shoes, his sandals. When he came to a puddle of water, so then he put on the sandals. Afterwards, he went by an area where there were a little bit of thorn bushes growing, and he lifted his cloak, so that his cloak wouldn't tear in the thorns, but he got a little bit scratched by the thorns. When he came back to the city, so his wife came out dressed beautifully to greet him. And when he entered the house, so his wife went in, and then he went in, and then the rabbis came in. They're waiting, and he doesn't address them. He sits down to eat and he gives bread to his family and he gives a slice of bread to the small child and a slice of bread to the big child and another slice of bread to the small child. He said to his wife, he signaled her, come, let's go up to the attic. They go up to the attic and he tells her, come, we'll go up to the roof. I know that the rabbis came to ask us to pray for rain. And I don't want to receive credit if it rains. So let's go up, you and me, and pray before they get to ask us the question. They went up to the roof and they started praying. And clouds started coming from the direction of his wife. As he went down back to his guests, it started raining. So he sat down with his guests and he said, welcome to my home. What would you guys like? So they said, we are messengers from the rabbis to ask you to pray that it should rain. So Abba Chilkiah said to them, look at how wonderful God is. He's made it rain and you don't need me. You see, what a beautiful day it is. Look at how it's raining outside. You don't need me anymore. So they looked at him and they said, you think we don't know what happened here? We understand that you went up to pray and then the clouds came and started raining. But we have a few questions. Could you answer us why you behaved the way you behaved? So he said, what are your questions? They said, how come when we came to the field and we greeted you, you didn't respond to us. So Abba Chilkia said, I was being paid to work, and they pay me according to the hours I'm supposed to work. If I would stop my work and start talking to you, I would answer you hello, you would start asking me questions, I would stop my work, I would be cheating my employer. They're paying me to work that hour. I'm not allowed to stop and have a conversation when they expect me to work. They said to him, why did you take your wood on one shoulder and your cloak on the other shoulder? He said, that cloak is not my cloak. I borrowed it today. They lent it to me to wear. They didn't lend it to me to carry a pile of wood on top of it. So I had no right to put the wood on top of the cloak. They lent me a cloak to wear. It would be more comfortable to carry wood on top of a folded cloak on my shoulder, but I didn't borrow it for that purpose. I didn't have a right to use it for that purpose. When someone lends you a cloak, they intend for you to wear it. They don't intend for you to use it as cushioning for a pile of wood. And so I couldn't put it under the wood. They asked him, how come the whole way you didn't wear your shoes? And when you showed up to puddles, then you put on those sandals. So he said to them, the whole way I could see where I was walking. In the water, I can't see what's in the water as I'm walking. There I have to protect my feet. Well, how come when you showed up to the thorn bushes, you lifted your robe and you got a little bit scratched? He said to them, I don't have that many clothing. I have my one robe. If it gets torn, I have to sit down and sew it. So I got a little bit scratched and those scratches heal. But if I would tear my robe, I'd have to sit down and sew it all over again. And that's something which I can't afford to do. They asked him, how come when you came to the city, your wife came out dressed so beautifully? He said to them, my wife knows that I'm a human being. And as a human being, I'm attracted to beauty. And it's in my best interest to only be attracted to her beauty. So she knows that the best thing for me is if she comes out to greet me in her beauty. So when I enter the city, I shouldn't have time to start thinking and looking in other directions. I'll only be looking at her. They said to him, how come when you came to the house, you sent her in, then you walked in, and then you allowed us to walk in? He said, I don't know you guys. You don't bring people into your house and leave them alone when you don't know who they are. You walk in first. If you have guests that you know who they are, so then you could honor them with walking in first. If you don't know who they are, so then you walk in first. They said to him, how come you fed your family and you didn't say a word to us? He said to them, it's a year of a drought. We don't have a lot of food. It's not nice for me to be nice to guests and say, gentlemen, you can have from the bread, and I'm being polite to you at the expense of my family. I didn't know I was having guests today. We don't have a lot of bread in the house. If I would offer you, I might be polite, but I'm hurting my own family. So the correct thing was to feed my family who's hungry and not offer you the guests. They said to him, how come you gave the child a second slice of bread and the older boy, you only gave him one? He said to them, the older boy is home all day. And every time my wife bakes something, he grabs a piece. He gets to eat. The younger boy is out studying. Whatever he doesn't eat at the meal, he's not eating. When you're at home, so you get a little of this, a little of that. When you're out of the house, you're only eating what's being served at mealtime. So it was more important the younger child gets a second slice of bread. They said to him, how come when you went up to pray, the clouds came from the side of your wife and not from your side? So he said, my wife does a greater mitzvah than I do. My wife, she gives the poor ready-made food. When poor people knock at our door, she takes from the food that's prepared and ready to eat, so the people have food to eat right away. When poor people come to me, I give them money as charity. Well, then they have to go and buy the wheat, they have to grind the flour, they have to bake the bread. They don't benefit as quickly from the charity I give as what she gives. So she does greater things than I do. And that's why when she prays, so she received the answer to her prayer quicker than I did. So that's the story of Abba Chilkia. His modesty, his kindness, his honesty. Abba Chilkia won't use something he borrowed in a way that could damage it. He won't use it in a way that wasn't agreed upon. He won't stop his work to talk to people when, in fact, he owes his employer to work that time. He won't offer people food just to be nice when it's at the expense of his family. But when poor people need food, they give them food. When he gives out food to his children, he calculates which one is really more hungry, which one really needs more food, and he makes sure he gets it. That's the story of Abba Chilkia. Now, going over to your question. If Abba Chilkia could not answer two people, good morning, it's a little difficult to believe that he was busy learning while he was working. However, Rav Pesen Zatzal told us that Rav Soloveitchik, when his son was learning, would sometimes send him on errands. And his son would say, Abba, why are you doing that to me when I'm learning? And his father would say, life involves distractions. And in order for you to grow, you have to be able to continue thinking in your learning as you're going to do the errands. And I'm giving you these tasks so that you can practice. And that way, throughout your life, you're never going to stop learning. You shouldn't stop when you're doing an errand. Your mind should still be in your learning. So there we see part of the concept you said. But our rule is that real learning Torah requires real focus. And Abaye said, or Rava, that if his wife asked him to pass the butter, so then he lost his focus for that day. They would focus in blocks of weeks. Their focus as they calculated the oral tradition, as they tried to figure out answers to their questions. Their focus went in week-long blocks. It says they wouldn't take off their shoes until Shabbos. On Sunday morning, they tied their shoes on their feet, and they didn't want to stop their learning to take off the shoes until Friday. It says it's not a healthy thing to do, but they did it anyways, because they didn't want to stop their focus. So the real understanding of the oral law requires a tremendous focus and diligence. I think that on the one hand, you have a point, that people definitely did utilize their working time to study in some level, like Rav Soloveitchik did. However, a person has to be focused on their work. They have to be a good employee. It says in the Jerusalem Talmud, and this is ruled in the Shulchan Aruch, in the laws of learning Torah, it says the following story. It says in the Jerusalem Talmud that one of the rabbis once came to a city and they told him, you know, the guy who teaches our children, he's such a pious person. He's always weak. He's always tired. He's so pious. So the rabbi asked, why is he always weak and always tired? So they said, oh, you don't understand. He's so pious. He's fasting so often and all night long he's learning. So he said, send me this pious person. So the teacher was summoned to the rabbi, and the rabbi said to him, I have a question. If someone takes his cow, and all night long he uses it to plow his field, and then in the morning he goes to the marketplace and says, who wants to rent this cow? What's the law regarding this person? So the teacher said, he's a thief. People think when they're renting a cow in the morning, they're getting a fresh cow. And this guy is taking a cow that was used all night to plow his field, and he's renting it for the same price. So that's, he's stealing from people. So the rabbi said, listen to what you just said, Mr. Teacher. If a person plows with the cow all night long and rents the cow in the morning, he's a thief. If that's the case with regards to the laws of the mundane, the simple renting of a cow, how much more so with the laws of teaching Torah? When people hire you to teach children, they're expecting you to show up in the morning refreshed. You have to sleep at night, and you're not allowed to fast. If it diminishes your ability to be focused and strong in your teaching, then you're not allowed to do that. And this is ruled in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch and the laws of learning Torah says that a teacher has to be careful. Don't stay up too late at night. Don't fast unnecessarily. Retain your strength so that when you're teaching, you are giving your prime focus, your ability to give them what you owe them. And so it's not so simple to say that a person could revert their focus to something else. Your responsibility is to give 100%. You're being hired for 100%. So that's why I'm not so sure how much people were studying the oral tradition while they were working. It's difficult for me to believe that that's the case.